Welcome to this edition of the HPE Mission Critical Solutions podcast, which is jointly sponsored by Intel. This series of podcasts explores how customers are deploying HPE's high-end servers that are powered by platinum or gold Intel Xeon scalable processors for their most demanding application workloads. In this podcast, we'll discuss a very topical workload, artificial intelligence, or AI. And I'm delighted to welcome Mike Woodacre, who is an HPE fellow and lead system architect.
Thanks, Rick. It's great to be here.
Now, Mike, I'm familiar with AI workloads on HPE Apollo systems, so I'm intrigued to hear of potential AI use cases with high-end servers.
Yes, with Apollo, we've got some fantastic AI solutions for our customers. And the Superdome Flex platform that I work on is another piece of our kit bag to help customers meet all of their workflow needs, and is very complementary to the capabilities of the Apollo line, and all of which fit under the overall HPC AI product portfolio at HPE.
Cool. Thank you for setting it in context as we get through. Now, I'm going to ask Mike five short questions so we can get into why actually AI can be a great fit here. And as we start, first question is, there's a lot of discussion these days about AI and data analytics. Can you provide some context on what you're hearing?
Sure, absolutely. So what we're seeing is the continued, exponential growth of data from many sources. So whether it's from customer data in enterprise applications, sensors, instruments, simulations in the HPC world, the challenge is how do we make sense of all that data and how do we gain insights into what that data is trying to tell us into and what's going on in the underlying processes, that generate that data. And so this exponential growth of data is happening just at the same time that standard CPUs is finding it very challenging to offer the same generation to generation speed up as they used to over the last few decades on single thread performance. And there's also many other areas where we don't really have sort of formal understanding of the behavior that's going on, or equations to explain what's going on in the data. So for example, again, in the HPC world, if you're looking at something like computational fluid dynamics, you've got the Navier-Stokes equation. So it explains the phenomenon of how fluids, whether it's air over a car or liquid, water when you're looking at how a boat flows through the water. We've got equations that describe that flow. But when you've got something like a self-driving car, you don't have equations that are telling you exactly what the next event will be given a particular street scene. You have to infer what's going to happen next based on previous events and behaviors. Is a pedestrian going to step out or not in a given context? So this is really where, artificial intelligence techniques are really now coming to the fore to really help bridge that gap between the exponential growth of data that we want to process and the ability to do that with various types of computing architectures to really gain insights.
Cool. So that's interesting, actually. With AI, it's not just about finding the right answers. It's also finding the right questions, I guess. So that's interesting. Now, my next point is this. AI is a big, complex area with a long history. Why is AI such a hot topic today?
So AI techniques have been around for many decades, and there are lots of them. When you look at the overall AI landscape, you go from things like rule-based systems to search to statistical use cases, reinforcement learning, deep learning, just to mention a few. That only takes you to Google for a couple of seconds on AI and you see very complex landscape of what's going on. So But what we have right now is the time where we are collecting these large amounts of information, digital data. And we've also, while I did say individual threat performance has not really been going up, it's starting to be challenged, we are able to deploy massive scale of compute in large clusters, data center scale platforms. So you have this availability of compute to actually look at that data and to work through that data, looking for patterns. So it's a combination of having all that digital data, the ability to store it and look at it with large amounts of computing power. And just taking one of the hottest areas right now in AI is deep learning. And deep learning has benefited from basically the continued transistor growth we have in chips, so that we can apply more parallel data processing capabilities in silicon to work on that data. And that's really been highlighted by accelerators like GPUs, as well as data parallel units and standard processors like Intel's AVX instruction. So the ability for silicon to work in parallel many computational units on that data, that means we're able to basically look at lots of historic data and pick out patterns. We have the ability to basically create deep neural networks that have been trained from looking at large amounts of data that in some cases are labeled with events. In other cases, we just have unlabeled data we're picking out information from. And so then by basically training neural networks with existing data, we can then use those trained neural networks to basically infer and to do inference. So when we get a new, a new image, we can then basically run that image through this deep neural network and basically come out with attributes of information within that image. And so, this goes from the trivial, such as, finding cats on your internet images, to the much more relevant things, say in the medical space, which is of great interest to I think all of us, where we can now, by using machine learning and deep neural networks, we're able to look at, high resolution medical imaging to detect, whether it's signs of cancer or other conditions. We can now analyze images actually with accuracy that's approaching, or in some cases even higher than the most trained human experts in those particular fields of medicine. So we can debate exactly what intelligence means in the artificial intelligence context, but what's clear is there's great value to us to apply these techniques to find the interesting patterns from this deluge of data we're creating from various sources, and have basically a move from where we used to have humans writing programs basically to analyze data. We can now have the computers go through that sea of historic data and effectively create the program to then infer information on new data. So creating that program being effectively the weights that are applied to these deep neural networks in extracting attributes from that data. So I think this is the deep learning part is really I think what started to capture people's imagination.
Yeah, thank you for that. And yes, certainly deep learning is a topic that we see coming forward in many areas. And as you say, AI definitely holds promise in many areas, not least to improve health outcomes. Now, Mike, you mentioned that you're the systems architect of Superdome Flex. Could you tell us a bit more about that platform?
Absolutely. So The simplest way to describe a Superdome Flex platform is to say it's a scalable system built on memory-driven computing principles that's focused on scaling memory, so the ability to store data, and then bring scalable processing elements and I/O within a single operating system environment. So the product itself is built around a four-socket building block. So we have four Intel Xeon scalable processors, you know, each of which has 12 memory DIMM slots, so 48 DIMMs in a chassis. And so today, as we're moving, you know, into the realm of DIMMs with capacities, you know, 64, 128 and beyond, you know, you're getting a large memory capacity even in that single chassis. We also, within that single chassis, we have up to 16 PCIe slots for attaching high-speed I/O for ingest of data, as well as for deploying accelerators to augment the CPU processing. And then the real secret sauce in the platform is the memory semantic fabric we have built into all of the chassis that then basically, as you add systems or chassis together, you connect them with this memory fabric. And so what this does, it enables you to have all of those sort of multiple chassis, up to 8 chassis in a rack today in our product. You can have them all running under one single operating system, so up to 32 sockets, 48 terabytes, 128 PCIe slots in a single rack, running one standard operating system. And that secret sauce, the memory semantic fabric, you know, expands the capability of Intel's UPI connections, you know, within the chassis. So Intel's UPI is effectively a local memory fabric between the 2 or 4 sockets within your compute node. And our fabric's basically expanding that out to a much larger scale. And so the memory-driven computing approach provides the single address space that is really key to maximizing the performance of data-intensive applications. So you can get direct access from the processor load store to that large, you know, tens of terabytes of memory, and you minimize the need to copy data around systems that don't have that common address space. So if you have a distributed cluster of systems that are each running their own operating system, you know, you've got the overheads in terms of copying data around, the performance impacts, the power costs of doing that, and the capacity costs of that, keeping multiple copies around. So we can avoid that by having this single system memory-driven computing platform.
Cool. That's for sure is a very powerful and capable server that you've described there. Can you provide some insight why the capabilities that you've described about Superdome Flex make it suitable for customers to gain insights from their data?
Certainly. So, you know, one of the key aspects I mentioned in the description was, you know, effectively you've got this scalable resource pool of memory compute elements sitting under a single operating system and the ability to have many high-speed I/O channels to ingest data. So this can be used in a number of ways. So given that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there's a wide range of AI techniques available. I talked more specifically about the deep neural networks being used for analysis, but there are lots of other AI techniques too. So having a scalable single systems means that you can take on problems that just wouldn't fit in non-scalable platforms. So if you want to have a single model with huge amounts of parameters, you can do that within the tens of terabytes that we can fit into a single system. So having all of that data in memory, you know, allowing it to be accessible to any processor within a few hundred nanoseconds versus the microseconds or milliseconds if that data is going across fabrics or going to storage devices, even the highest performance solid state storage we have today, you're still into many microseconds to get access to that data. So having that high speed access is key. Another aspect is, you know, artificial intelligence tends to be a workflow that people are using. It's not just one application. And so you're relying on high-speed ingests of data. You're looking at data preparation processes, cleansing of data, the training of models. And so if you can get all of those steps within a single system where all of the information is kept in memory, and it could be very simple without even changing out the multiple applications. It could be just by putting an in-memory file system between to pass data between each of those applications, you know, within that single OS environment. Then you get the I/O and storage stacks out of the way, and you can operate at the speed of memory and basically, you know, unlock the ability of your processing elements from those I/O storage bottlenecks. As an example, you often see the open source Apache Spark package being used as part of an AI workflow. And with Hewlett-Packard Labs, we've demonstrated how we can use memory-driven computing techniques on platforms like Superdome Flex to accelerate that sort of work piece of the workflow by an order of magnitude, you know, 10 to 15x, which we saw in some examples. So being able to accelerate different parts of the overall pipeline is very important. The system can also support accelerators. I mentioned the standard PCIe capabilities we have, so we can install GPUs, and not just one. We can, you know, we can put, say, 16 GPUs in a platform. And so you can basically provide application-specific acceleration to parts of the pipeline, you know, such as training, if that's the key bottleneck in your overall use case. So we're running standard unmodified operating systems, you know, Linux and Windows on the platform. So all of the standard AI frameworks that have really helped to accelerate people's ability to basically deploy AI techniques, you know, things like TensorFlow, these are able to run on the Superdome Flex because it's a standard operating environment. So supporting, you know, a scalable number of cores on the platform from the Xeons and scalable memory, you know, lets us also do things like unsupervised learning applied to complex graph structures of data. So you can bring out unknown patterns that then, you know, humans can go figure out what, you know, why is it you've got these clusters of behaviors, you know, within this overall mass of data that you couldn't really see apart from by using, you know, AI techniques to bring out those patterns. So overall, Superdome Flex, and actually what I really like the Flex part of the name, because what it does is it gives you the ability to configure systems for very much for specific workflow needs of a given customer. So you don't over provision the system, you know, whether it's too many cores or too much memory capacity or not enough memory bandwidth or not enough I/O ingest ports. We can tailor the system to in many dimensions to be optimized for that particular customer's AI workflow.
So Superdome Flex provides customers with flexibility for their AI workloads or other workloads. I guess the clue's in the name, huh? So that's good. Now, Mike, my last question to you is this. You know, looking to the future, things are not standing still. Where do you see capabilities heading?
So I think, personally, it's a really exciting time in the industry. If I think back probably 5 years, things were starting to become, a little boring to some degree. There was, the realization that the Moore's law growth of, transistors on a chip was, becoming more of a struggle. The Dennard scaling was coming to an end in terms of power density. And so there were sort of challenges, and we were seeing, just sort of a narrowing of technologies. But then suddenly, I think the AI space has really helped to sort of break the logjam and get people thinking differently. And as back to the beginning, we talked about the data deluge. And so suddenly people are, instead of running all the existing programs and human written programs, they're deploying these AI techniques that can then start taking on these massive new data challenges. So I think we've seen a lot of new silicon sort of getting developed to help in these areas to sort of more application specific silicon. So I think we're really still pretty early in the stages of this AI revolution, but, examples people are sure are familiar with, AI gaming systems, beating humans at Go or at poker. And actually poker is a really interesting one, because unlike the game Go or chess, you only have partial information on what your opponent's position is. So, and we've now got effectively poker bots that can beat some of the best human poker players. So think about the implications of that from a business negotiation standpoint, and where you don't have full information of the person you're negotiating with. So, imagine if you're trying to negotiate with an AI system, that's going to be quite interesting in the business world. And, we see natural language processing at levels not imagined, where, people talking to their devices in the home, and it's that the AI techniques that have been applied to natural language processing that are enabling those kind of real-time use cases. So we've got, I talked about the medical imaging techniques, providing systems that are similar or potentially more accurate than humans, and especially the humans having a bad day at the office, and this is some attribute on a medical scan that obviously can have dramatic implications. So while in technology terms, standard CPU single thread performance has become more challenging to improve between generations, we start to see more application specific elements coming, whether it's augmenting standard CPUs or new accelerators. Google have got multiple generations now of TPUs, their tensor processing units, aimed at AI use cases. We've got Intel adding their vector neural network instructions into their portfolio of processing options to accelerate, parts of AI workflows, again with that the data parallel speed ups you can bring in that are key to processing large amounts of data. So we see a lot of spaces where these techniques are being applied to bridge the gap from that exponential growth of data to how do we gain insights from it. Another example in Hewlett-Packard Labs, we've been looking at actually what I would refer to as analog computing, using memristors, so variable resistance devices, to basically take the same matrix multiplication that we do today in, say, an accelerator in a digital domain, but do that in the analog domain using, Ohm's law and Kirchhoff's law sort of computing in that analog domain, so you can do matrix multiplication at a fraction of the power of, and you know, still at high speed, but much lower power than traditional digital techniques. And obviously that's important, especially when we look to devices sitting at the, you know, what we think of as the edge. So where basically the interface between the analog and digital world. So while some of those underlying, Moore's law, Dennard scaling challenges are there, we still see a lot of silicon innovation. And, you know, I like to feel the work that Hewlett-Packard Labs did on memory-driven computing and how we're now deploying that capability at scale in the Superdome Flex, that really provides a great way for people to see that there really are tools and capabilities out there to meet those challenges as they want to deal with that ever growing amount of data they want to gain insight from.
Mike, this has been a very enlightening discussion. So many thanks for taking time to speak with us about how Superdome Flex is a great platform for AI workloads.
Thanks, Rick. It's been fun talking to you.
And to our listeners, please stay tuned for future HPE Mission Critical Solution podcasts. Until next time, thank you for listening.